If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama announced today that the United States will provide $339 million in additional humanitarian aid to support those affected by the ongoing crisis in Syria.
America's committed over $1 billion to this effort.
Obama made the announcement during a speech in New York to the United Nations General Assembly. The new infusion brings the total U.S. funding for humanitarian assistance to the Syrian people to nearly $1.4 billion since the crisis began. Specifically, the aid consists of food, clean water, shelter, medical care, and relief supplies to over 4.2 million people inside Syria, as well as to more than 2 million refugees across the region. Obama said he knows the aid won't bring the war in Syria to a close, but argued that it's better than doing nothing.
No aid can take the place of a political resolution that gives the Syrian people the chance to rebuild their country, but it can help desperate people to survive.
Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women Patriot. This is Barbara and Brenda. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, Barbara. Welcome, everyone, to Conservative Nation Media. Don't see a lot of people in the chat room. Maybe because currently at this continuing into the fourth hour, Senator Ted Cruz is on the Senate floor filibustering or basically talking to the senators about their basic duty to the American people. And it's kind of interesting because that's what I wanted to talk about tonight was this Obamacare health care bill. And so it's interesting that this is going on at the same time. This is a nightmare. And it is really sad to see our representatives in Washington trying to shove this down the throats of the American people when they themselves have exempted their staff members and themselves from the bill because they know what a disaster it is. The Cleveland Clinic, I mean, this thing is already causing layoffs in the healthcare. And when you cause layoffs in healthcare, you're going to affect healthcare. The Cleveland Clinic plans to lay off as many as 3,000 workers. Your premiums are going to go up by 29%. Lawrence and Memorial Hospital in Connecticut is laying off people what was going to close. The AFL-CIO union called this plan highly disruptive. Schuyler Corporation has 1,170 laid off due to medical device taxes that are in this bill. 250 businesses. Local government public utilities are cutting worker hours. This is just insane. This bill, as many of you have maybe know, and some of you don't because you listen to things like the Huffington Post and MSNBC, one couple had their premiums at $333, and they had it so that it was catastrophic and high deductible, and now it's going up to $900 a month to meet the compliance with Obamacare. There are doctors quitting. Medicare Advantage programs are going to be, some of their services are going to be cut. That's going to affect seniors because that's the program that provides for drugs and an alternative to just Medicare, which doesn't provide for drugs. This thing is disastrous to the elderly and to the middle class. And the Republicans have proposed defunding it while funding the government, and they have proposed an alternative plan. Unfortunately, the liberal media and the liberal senators have decided that they're going to shove this down our throats whether we want it or not. And at this point, I'm going to play a little clip from Ronald Reagan back in the 60s because we need to understand how important this issue is to our country and to the future.
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that.
And here we are, over, 50 years later, and here they are shoving it down our throats when 52% of Americans don't want this plan. And it's just sad that it takes somebody like one person from the state of Texas to stand up, and while he's standing up trying to defund this thing, he has Republicans from his own party sending the news media opposition information, so they can't even stand up together. The people need to start vetting our candidates a little bit better. And with that, I'm going to bring in Barbara, and we're going to talk about this a little more before we're going to throw this. We're probably going to end a little early so that we can go back and listen to Ted and support Ted as he stands there on the Senate floor speaking for you and I, the individual. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, obviously a little out of it, but I'm doing okay.
You know, I'm really excited that somebody is standing up for us and, you know, taking the rhetoric from the people, because he's the junior senator and he's not following protocol. And you know what? That's what we need. We need somebody to step out of that darn box and not do their little protocol, because their little protocol is not standing with the American people. It's not standing for the American people. It's all, everything what the Constitution is not. You know,
absolutely.
And Harry Reid himself, and I actually tweeted this to Harry Reid earlier, you know, Harry Reid a while ago had said that it was a train wreck. And I tweeted him and said, you know, you made the statement that this is a train wreck. Stop the train wreck before the people get hurt.
Yeah, and it's like they all know it's a train wreck. But, you know, but oh my gosh, we can't embarrass the president. Well, why not? This is not good for America. You're not there for the president. You're not there for your party. You're there for America to be a servant to your state.
Exactly.
Exactly. This is what this is all about.
Yep.
And people like John McCain calling, Senator Cruz and Rand Paul names because they dare to stand up and say, hey, I have a voice here too, because the Constitution says two senators from each state to represent each state equally. Doesn't say anything about giving one man power to decide on a bill this massive. And this is what's going to happen. If they vote for cloture, then Harry Reid can put anything he wants to in there without discussion. And this is what actually Ted Cruz is standing up for. He wants a no vote on the cloture because therefore he can't fund Obamacare, which is what Harry Reid, one man is going to have the power out of 100. That's not what the Constitution was written for. That's not what the Constitution says. And yes, we are anarchists, Senator Harry Reid, because we believe that the government works for us. And I'm, you can call us whatever names you want to, but the truth is, you are out of line. And I am glad, Barbara, as you are, that Senator Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Marco Rubio's been up, Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama's
right.
been in there. I'm glad that they're making a stand, and I've demanded of my senators that they get up there and make a stand. One's a Democrat, but he's representing Indiana, and he knows that Indiana values will not support this plan.
And I've been calling, tweeting, emailing, Facebooking, and sometimes I feel like it's just going on deaf ears, where I know they're getting the message, but they're not listening to what we're saying. And, I forgot what I was listening to yesterday, but they did it in Colorado, and I heard another state did it with a mayor, and we're going to start needing to do it. Like Richard Burr, our senator here, we're going to have to recall him if he doesn't do what we want him to do. Kay Hagan's up next year, so we're going to vote her butt out of office because she's just for everything we're not. They want a democracy, but a democracy is the majority rules. And the majority of the people are saying, we don't want this. And there's just a few handful, which is the minority of people, that want it. And that's what she's fighting for, the minority of people in this state.
Oh, exactly. And even with, like, gay rights and all these things, they're the minority. We don't live in a republic, and the Supreme Court is getting it wrong, and our senators, and you're right, we got to start at the state level, and each state has to be responsible. I'm in Texas. Love me some Texas. Thank you, Michael Smith, and all those that worked to get Ted Cruz. He was a big Ted Cruz supporter. He pushed that man. It was his everything he had, him and his fellow patriots in Texas, and I'm so proud to call him a friend. We need
he
more Ted Cruz's. Yes.
Now, Mike Inzi from the senator from Wyoming, he's up there now asking questions to Senator Cruz.
Oh. Awesome. So we have another senator joining into the thing. Well, as we're talking about this health care bill, as some of you know, I'm a registered nurse and I work in oncology, caring for cancer patients. And it's ironic that this is what's going to be my conversation for tonight, was this health care bill. And we have Senator Cruz filibustering on the floor trying to get some people to see some common sense, which they're sadly lacking in Washington, D.C., because they live in a bubble. And there is an establishment, like we've talked about, and Karl Rove is part of that establishment, as is Fox News. if you haven't figured it out. But we have these HIPAA regulations, which I'm sure you've all heard of, because if you haven't, your doctor office can be fined like $50,000, that your privacy, your information is to be kept private, okay? Well, they go, the government goes through this big rigmarole to get this, you know, HIPAA privacy, and now what are they going to do? They are going to put our database into the government and the IRS, where our health insurance is, our health information is going to be out there for everyone to see. But this is like 7 pages, man. We got to go over this with patients now. This is crazy. It's like 7 pages long. Permissible uses and disclosures of PHI. PHI is personal health information, okay? And, you know, under the HIPAA, which is the privacy law, government regulations on healthcare, that is part of the cost of healthcare. Obviously, for payment and healthcare options, which we've been doing all along, because we have to disclose to insurance companies and that type of thing to get payment. But here's the other, this is what's frightening, is the other permissible uses and disclosures of PHI. The following is a description of other possible ways in which we may and are permitted to use and or disclose your personal health information. Required by law, we may use or disclose your personal health information to the extent law requires the use or disclosure. When used, this notice required by law is defined as it is in the HIPAA privacy rules. For example, we may disclose your personal health information when required by national security laws or public health disclosure laws. Okay, well, that's the CDC. You see, the CDC wants, now we want to do AIDS testing on everybody so the CDC can keep track of everything. Hello, Lady Michelle. Thank you for tuning in. We've all been kind of following this Ted Cruz filibuster, but it's ironic that this was the very thing I wanted to talk about. Public health activities, preventing or controlling diseases. Again, your information is going to go to the Center for Disease Control if you've got tuberculosis, if you have bird flu, other things. And again, this is intrusive. I mean, why is your information going to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, anyway? But it can. Obviously, for reports of child abuse or neglect, which I don't disagree with that necessarily, because I think that we need to protect the children. Health oversight agencies for activities authorized by law. Oversight agencies seeking this information. Okay, this is where your public health information can go. Okay. Includes government agencies that, one, the healthcare system. Two, government benefit programs. Three, government regulatory programs. And four, compliance with civil rights laws. That's where your private health information can go. Legal proceedings, obviously, if they get a court, you know, the lawyer sends you court information, it goes there. Law enforcement. Now, this is your local law enforcement. This is your personal health information. Under certain conditions, we may disclose your personal health information to law enforcement officials. For example, some of the reasons for such disclosure may include, but not limited to, required by law or some other legal process, it is necessary to locate or identify a suspect, fugitive, material witness, or missing person, and it is necessary to provide evidence of a crime that occurred on our premises. Coroners, medical examiners, that kind of thing. Research. Go ahead, Barbara. There's a whole list of this crap here that's in our new PHI disclosure HIPAA form, and this is crazy.
Yeah, and something that had been bothering me is I was listening to a show Saturday, and they were talking about the Navy shooting.
Uh-huh.
And my thing is, if you're speaking to a psychiatrist or psychologist or anybody like that, that's supposed to be confidential information. And if
right.
somebody has a gun and they're saying that they, you know, hear voices in their head, it's supposed to be confidential. You know,
right.
the doctor may choose to put that person in the hospital, and the hospital personnel, you know, have that information. Not even all the information, just, you know, whatever information they need to get by. And how is it going to get it? You know, this is what they want. They want it to get into a database that, you know, if somebody is going through some kind of depression, you know, they're not allowed to have a gun. Well, you know what? Kiss my butt.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm describing here. This is what this new law is going to allow them to access. Now, I have no problem. See, what they did is, you know, the American Liberty Union, you know, people with mental disabilities, I think they took away the 72-hour hold, which if they had put the shooter in the 72-hour hold, it would have gone into his record and he could never have bought that shotgun. You know, but certainly when somebody's hearing voices in their head, I think they need to be referred, and I don't think they should have a gun. But,
right.
you know, if you're just having simple depression, no, everybody goes through depression. That's a normal cycle of life for most people. And, you know, it's not a reason not to be able to have a gun. But, I mean, this is far more intrusive than if, you know, you're talking about depression. This is just crazy. They're going to give my personal health information to everybody in the government? This is insane.
Yeah. And right now, what my doctor's doing is he'll send a prescription, if I need a refill, to the mail-away place where I have to go to get the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And he also sends it to the local pharmacy so they can keep track of what I'm taking to make sure that it doesn't... oh gosh, what's that word I'm looking for? I can't even think of it right now. They don't interact with each other. That they're okay with taking two different medications. Well,
yeah.
You know what? If I wanted my local pharmacy to know, I would go to my local pharmacy. And my doctor's all okay with all of this, but it's also the law. So if I even change a doctor's, am I going to get a doctor who's not going to do it? Am I going to get a doctor who's going to break the law and risk their license being jeopardized?
No, you're not.
It's just, exactly. So I'm screwed. Not just me. I'm just
everybody.
I say me because, but it's not just me. It is everybody. And everybody's going to get screwed no matter which way they turn.
Yeah, absolutely. And carrying guns in the chat room's asking if we heard about the kid that got suspended for having an airsoft toy gun playing in his yard. Yes, we did. And it is so ridiculous. And that brings up, you know, the whole Second Amendment thing, which
they
then
want
goes
to
back.
Expel that kid.
I know.
School now.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
My kid's playing in his own yard.
My 18-year-old was out with his 19-year-old nephew and friends. They were shooting each other with paintballs and airsoft guns, you know, in the park, which is not illegal here in Indiana. And it's harmless. I mean, didn't you play Cowboys and Indians as a kid, pretend to shoot the Cowboys and the Indians,
you know? Yeah, because me and my husband were talking about that last night. You know,
oh,
when
absolutely.
We were kids, I grew up with three brothers. You play
yeah.
cops and robbers.
Oh,
Cowboys
my cops and robbers, cowboy, and we played Cowboys and Indians. I think I was the Indian a lot. I liked that part. But, you know, it's like that's normal childhood behavior. And, yes, my children were running around shooting each other with airsoft guns, okay? It didn't hurt them. They're not mass killers, nor will they be. My son's like a big teddy bear. And but they enjoy it. And to actually suspend a kid for doing something in his own yard is beyond ridiculous. It's crazy. crazy. We're just, everything is out of control. The government wants control of everything. They want our guns. They want our health care. They want to turn us over to the IRS, which brings up a whole nother situation altogether. Because did you hear Lois Lerner, instead of taking the risk of being fired, we're going to have to pay her pension because she's going to retire.
I heard that today. I was at work, and they have the TV on in the background now because I got a new job, and I was just like, did I hear that right? And then I didn't hear it again since I got home, because when I got home, I was busy, and then I was listening to Senator Cruz, and I was like, wow, is this really going to happen? She needs that pension pulled. This is just so wrong, and
why are we
paying her?
Yes, she needs to be in jail. Her and along with those people on Benghazi who were given more positions, and Susan Rice, who actually got promoted for lying to the American people on TV so that Obama could win an election. Talk about playing politics. The Republicans aren't playing politics. They're trying to do what's right for the American people, and all this president can think about is playing politics, playing ridiculous politics. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. Join Delaware political veteran Christopher Manti every Friday right here on conservativenationmedia.com for the Christopher Manti Show at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threats of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll, NFL commentary thrown in for good measure, the Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous, Fridays at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
So I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift. But maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
And welcome back to Women Patriots on conservativenationmedia.com, the number 718-305-7176. Feel free to give us a call if you have questions or just want to join in the discussion. We started off talking about Obamacare, kind of got sidetracked to the Second Amendment and even on into the IRS, because I tell you what, this ever-looping scandals that come out of this White House, including Fast and Furious, which is now in court, and Holder's begging for the judge not to make him release his emails to Congress. Now, I ask you, why won't he release the emails to Congress? Because obviously he did something wrong, and Obama is protecting him. And the American people have no clue, because they listen to things like the mainstream media and MSNBC and the Huffington Post, all these liberal rags. And even Fox News, to some extent, is not giving us the truth. Just like right now, they're saying, oh, Ted Cruz, this isn't going to accomplish anything. You can't win. If our founding fathers had taken that attitude back in the 1700s, we would not be the nation we are today.
Absolutely.
You don't
right.
give up before the fight begins. You don't do it. And you listen to the people. You know, it's kind of funny, Barbara. There's this new show on called, it's called, I forgot.
I don't
the Headless Horseman. Okay. Oh, Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy Hollow, you know, from Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman. And it's a little twist on it. But the one guy that comes back, Ichabod Crane, comes back from the suspended animation for 250 years. And he looks at this receipt that has a 10% tax on it. And he said, we went to war for a 2% tax. I mean, our tax system is so far out of control in this country. The government is way too big on the federal level, even on the state level in some instances. We need to have more in the local governments and less in the federal and even less at the state level. Because I'm telling you what, from Washington, D.C., which, by the way, incomes have gone up in Washington, D.C., which tells you that the people are making money in their little establishment there when they've gone down everywhere else across the country.
Yep, because we're paying for them.
Because we're paying their salaries. And this Obamacare is going to expand the IRS by, I don't know, a bunch of employees so they can oversee our health care. The same IRS that targeted conservatives. And guess what? They actually gave True the Vote their exempt status because they're trying to avoid the lawsuit that was filed against them by True the Vote. Well, True the Vote's not going to drop the lawsuit.
Good.
And I say, good for you, because we need to start standing up to these bullies in Washington and this president and his minions. And that brings us to the whole other story of the mall terrorist that you probably haven't heard. You know the mall shooting? Did you hear about this?
Hey, everybody. I'm Maggie Rooley from Mom IQ. As the weather gets cooler and the kids
are... What the heck is that coming from?
Why not?
Oh, that was coming from my little list terrorist. I don't know. It wasn't playing from that. But anyway, the mall shooting in Kenya, there were three American Muslims, one from Minnesota, one from Michigan, and one from Kansas that were with these...
In the frame, we'll be the only
Barbara, you got something playing?
No, not me.
Just because the leaf has fallen off the tree doesn't mean it can't live on.
Well, where the heck is that coming from?
Wait a minute. It was my Skype.
Oh, your Skype was... I'm like, whoa, wait. Skype is now talking to us on the radio live. Anyway, if you don't know about this story, these terrorists went into a mall. These Muslim extremists went into a mall. And if you wouldn't recite passages from the Quran, they started shooting and killing innocent people in Kenya. And there were three American Muslims, one from Kansas, one from Minnesota, and I forget where the other one was from now, that were with this group. Don't tell me that the Muslims in America aren't out to kill people who don't believe in the Quran. And like one of the guys said today, and I can't remember, I've been scanning so many articles, that, you know, if you don't agree with them, then stand up and make your voice heard. If you're a Muslim in this country and you are not standing with these terrorists, then make your voice heard, because enough is enough.
Yeah.
The killing of innocent people and Christians, even in Pakistan. Go ahead, Barbara.
These are the people we're arming. This is
yes.
the people that this president and our tax dollars are sending money to. This is ridiculous. He's got to go.
Absolutely. And they bombed the Christians in Pakistan and in Iraq. It's happening in Iraq. It's a total war zone going to be in Iraq. Thank you, President Obama, for not leaving troops there.
I don't get it. What the hell is wrong with them? And then, you know, we have these idiot, both of them, Republicans and Democrats, that stand behind them.
I know. It's crazy. And yet Egypt now has outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood. Thank you, Egypt. We have some sanity in the Middle East because we certainly don't have it here in Washington, D.C. And we do have a caller, so let's see who that is.
Okay.
Good evening.
Maybe. Hello, 207, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi,
good evening. This is Carrie calling in.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi,
how
Carrie.
Are you?
I'm well, thank you. I was calling in because you started to talk about the Muslims and from the three states, and on the national media they had said that one of them was from Maine. And being a resident of Maine, I can tell you some of the backstory of what these cells are about. You have a lot of Somalians that have been transported by our own federal government. Portland, Maine, for instance, got 3,000 Muslim Somalians. They were dumped in Portland. They are housekeepers in the hotels, but they were immediately signed up for Social Security. Now they want to vote, and they have created such a roar about it that the city of Portland, Maine, is considering to allow them to vote on the local level. I live in northern Maine. I don't have to worry about that because that's southern Maine, but it does influence. I have spoken, and Lady Michelle's going to know. She's heard me before complain about this. The state of Maine only gets 2 electoral votes, and we have 16 counties in the state of Maine, and most of our votes get swooped out from underneath of us because of the population in the southern part of Maine. But I'll get back to the jihadists and all this. Those 3,000 Somalians that were dumped there, they do not assimilate to the Catholic Charities had helped bring them and find housing for them, and what happens is they don't assimilate into the town around them, so they stay connected to themselves or to the people that they came over here with them, and then they of course have children and they just stay within their own sect. And that breeds, you know, unhappiness within the community. So they want to go back to Somalia. They want to go back there because they haven't chosen to assimilate to the area around them. They have, I think there's been 10,000 put into Minnesota, and the same thing has happened there. What is someone from Africa going to do in Maine? Maine is freezing cold in the winter, as is Minnesota.
Right.
But
right.
The U.S. government put them here. The State Department chose where to put them. They have all their names. They have all their identification. They have all of their information. And you're going to tell me that the State Department doesn't know who those terrorists were already?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course they know.
Right,
and the same thing is going on in Dearborn, Michigan. And now I don't know if they imported them there, but that city in Michigan is out
Dearborn,
of control.
Dearborn, Michigan is unique, though. They're different because I've looked a lot on the Internet with Dearborn, and I've seen a lot, especially because they have their big festival every year, their Muslim festival. But they come from different areas of around the world. They don't come from one particular area. Like the 3,000 Muslims that were dropped into Portland, Maine, were all from Somalia. They weren't from Egypt and Syria and Lebanon or Libya. They, like Dearborn, Michigan, they come from all countries. But you take the ones from Minnesota and the ones from Maine, those came from one area. They didn't come from all areas like the ones in Dearborn.
Okay.
And that's why
and
you get more
violence or more. Go ahead. I know they have a lot of violence and a lot of anti-Christian things there in Dearborn.
Do.
So
they don't want to live by the American Constitution. And you know what? If they don't want to live by it and acclimate to it, then they need to be removed and get the hell out, because this country's not. It's not going to acclimate to
that. The United States has become so politically correct that it is committing suicide on itself.
That's
absolutely
what we're fighting.
Absolutely,
right.
And this is all planned. This is a planned downfall. I mean, there are goals set up by several different entities. You know, even the first one that I know recorded in 58 was from, you can read it in the Naked Communist, was a list put out by the Soviet Union. And if you read that list, you can go down by it one by one by one by one, and we're to the one of the last one was make the UN and the governing body, which.
They're trying
just
to
breaking
do.
Today, John Kerry's getting ready to sign the UN Treaty for Gun Control, and we have to keep on our senators, because it only becomes law when our senators back it. But yeah, this is what Obama's trying to do. And then he was up there today. Oh, he was talking to the UN today, and he was apologizing again to the United Nations and reassuring them that the U.S. had shifted away from a perpetual war for its footing. This is the man who just wanted to bomb Syria. And he's just setting limits. What's that? Did you watch him
today? I could not watch him at the UN today. But right. I did watch The Blaze this evening, and we will never see this on a network, a mainstream media network, not even Fox News. But in that, at the mall in Kenya, there was an SAS agent, a British special agent, that was there at the mall with his family. And do you know that he saved over 100 lives because he was carrying a handgun? He went back into the mall 12 times
right.
and saved over 100 lives.
Wow.
And we will hear that.
We will not see his picture. Glenn Beck showed his picture on. He didn't. I think he had his face blurred for because of his family's sake.
Right.
Absolutely.
But you will not see that story on any network. And that is what angers me, is that why is it that we have to pay? And I called Time Warner this evening. I said, you know, it angers me to think that I have to pay not only for my network services, for my cable services, for my phone services, but I have to watch all the time to make sure that Al Jazeera doesn't penetrate Time Warner Cable or any of the other, you know, I have to constantly search the cable to find out, you know, what is penetrated through. But I said, you just won't even carry The Blaze. I have to pay for that premium on my own. And he said, well, you know, we've actually gotten quite a few calls to carry it. And I said, I'm not a Mormon, so I'm not somebody that's trying to get him just because, you know, I think that everything he says is gospel. But I said, you know, I hear stuff and I see stuff on there that I know that no mainstream media is going to carry. And
mm-hmm.
I said, that's why I think it's important for him to be on carried by Time Warner Cable. I said, if you want my 2 cents worth, which it's not worth very much, I'm sure, from Time Warner, but that story, I wouldn't have heard it through any other network.
No. No, you would have no clue. A lot of people probably don't even know that this went on, that this mall shooting went on, that the Muslims were killing innocent people who wouldn't quote from the Quran. They probably don't even know that happened.
I think you'd have to be under a rock to have not heard about it. I mean, I've seen it on every network.
There's a lot of people under those rocks.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? My kids are in their 30s, and it angers me when I ask them, have you heard about this on the news? No. Well, I have one daughter who works, who's in college, just finishing up her degree, and she has a child. And I'm like, you know, I did all that. I had 3 jobs, and I had 2 kids, but I still watch the news every night. Can you tell me why you don't watch the news?
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing homework. And I said, well, you can have the news on in the background and still hear what. Can't you multitask? You are a woman, after all.
Oh, that's a good one.
I get so frustrated because I have to call them, and it's like this boy with, I mean, my grandchildren have all of the airsoft, and, you know, God forbid that something like that was to happen to them, because just because I live in the boonie wacks doesn't mean that, I mean, we have, you know, the University of Maine at Presque Isle that on Constitution Day, I bet you if I would have went there with my box of constitutions and wanted to hand them out, I bet you the liberals there wouldn't have been too keen on it. But now that I know, I probably will tuck some in my pockets and go next year and see just what I'll get out of it.
I've
always got them in my handbag, and I give out constitutions constantly to people, just waiting to, you know, get thrown out of some place, but I haven't yet, thank God. And you really have to search nowadays to find the truth, and that's sad for America
sad.
In the United States.
It's like I never thought I would see the day, Carrie, when we lived in a propaganda state. And we do.
I know.
Because even if you watch the news, it just makes me ill. My husband watches, you know, CBS every night.
I record CBS. I grew up as a child in the 60s, watched my parents. Well, that was the only channel we had, so we didn't have either that or the Canadian news because I live on the Canadian border. So we either had to watch Canadian news or the CBS. That's all or NP, national or main broadcasting, you know. So, I mean, you grew up, and my husband gets kind of, he's like, I don't want to watch that CBS news. And I tell him, the only reason that I do watch it is because I want to know what they're putting out so I can,
it's so subtle, Carrie.
I can refute what they're saying, you know.
Sometimes it's like, it's just in the way they phrase the question or they phrase into the subject that is trying to, it's like hypnotizing people or like, you know, subtle infiltration of your mind on how they want the story to be perceived, you know? It's like
it just
drives
me crazy. Very clear.
Phrases.
Yeah. It's almost like you can take a laser beam and just circle, like, okay, that's that catchphrase. Catchphrase. That's a liberal catchphrase right there. And my husband, you know, will say him, and I tell him, honey, I'm so aware of what they're saying. They're not talking me into anything. Actually, I like the humanitarian stories that they will tell. But
yes.
I said, most of all, I just want to hear what they really think. What they think is going on in the world and reality is so far apart.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's apples and oranges at this point.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's
we get back
insane.
To the X generation, they are not news watchers, and I cannot imagine when our generation goes by. I mean,
well, what is encouraging, Carrie? And I don't know. Being up there in Maine, you may not know this, but I worked on the Santorum campaign here in Indiana, and you know we have to get 500 votes from each district to get a candidate on. 500 names, voting names in each district to get a candidate on the ballot.
So we have to get 2,000.
Yeah, we actually had homeschoolers, great young people that have been homeschooled that are going to be the saviors of our country. And I was so pleased to see so many young people engaged and knowledgeable. So that was some of my personal experience just, you know, on the last presidential election, and because it can be so discouraging.
I go from door to door every campaign, so I see those amazing kids. And one thing I wanted to say, too, is a lot of people think that Maine, we get the liberal label, but there's a lot of good conservatives in the state of Maine, and our voice gets shut down by the coast of Maine where people migrate from New York. A lot of Hollywood people buy on the coast of Maine. Martha Stewart owns half of Mount Desert Island, and the Mainers can't stand her, don't want her there. But Maine-born and bred people tend to be more conservative than, and what hurts us is a lot of, like, California, it's transplants that come from the other New England states and New York and Rhode Island and, you know, people that earn their money in the big cities and then they want to come and vacation. Our slogan for Maine is Vacation Land, because that's everybody comes to vacation from the cities up to Maine. And they earn their money in the cities. They buy the land cheap here in Maine.
Right.
And another thing I want to tell you is I had surgery at Brigham and Women's. And speaking about public, how public our information is, I am not, I mean, when you really need a good doctor, you don't stay where I live. You get out of Dodge real quick.
Right.
And having had my mom pass away from ovarian cancer, I left Dodge real fast, and I went down to Boston, and it only took a couple strokes of the keys, and those doctors started telling me a lot of stuff about me, and I was kind of scratching my head thinking, gosh, I never told them that. I never filled out a paper saying that. Why do they know that? And because my son-in-law is a doctor, and my daughter's been in medicine for over 9 years, I was thinking, this must be, I can't think of, there's a program, it's the National Medical Data, my daughter has a degree, she'll be getting her degree in December in the information technology of this programming. Like I'm proud of that, but it's software of, that's what she specializes in, medical software. And her husband's a physician. He does not even want to be a physician in 5 years because of Obamacare.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I get. I work with physicians here, and they don't want to be, you know, they'd rather retire.
And he's not even going to be of retirement age. He's not in that. He's not a baby boomer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I said, well, what are you planning on doing? He says, I plan on owning a business. I've got to do something. But he said, I will not be a doctor. And he said, the sad part about that is that I have studied, you know, he's an MDDO, and he says, I have invested so much in an education that I feel now the government has stolen it away from me.
Oh, yeah. That and the greedy people who think, oh, doctors get paid too much, but they really don't. I mean, a lot of doctors put in a lot of hours, not to mention they put in probably more education and more training than any other, you know, position in the world. They had handle life and death situations on a daily basis, plus they have to be on call
at
night.
He must spend, I would say, close to $10,000 a year in just education alone, keeping mm-hmm. his degree current. And people do not realize, and I must say, even myself was ignorant until my daughter married a doctor. Did I not know how much education they have to continue to keep? If they want to be a good doctor, he's always going to classes. He's always attending specialty classes and furthering his education. I mean, just to keep his
Correct.
License.
Mm-hmm.
And people do not realize. And the thing that him and I have talked about, he doesn't really talk about medicine per se. We never talk about medicine, but we talk about the politics of medicine. And he says the most disheartening thing is that he was in family care, and he left family care practice, and he went back to ER because of the fact that he said for every test that he ordered, he would have to order two tests, because should that person decide to sue him, he would have to have a backup test for the test that he only would have had to have run one test because of malpractice laws. When you automatically order one test, you have to order another test because of your medical insurance. And he said if there were not the lawyers out there seeking to sue people, doctors, constantly, he said people in the United States' insurance would drop significantly just based on the fact
that
if they would quit suing doctors, thinking that doctors are millionaires, and they're not.
Right, right. Everybody's out to get quick buck.
I'm saying for our area, they're not millionaires here. You know, I'm sure they are some in other places, in other significant areas. But he said, those you see those advertisements on TV all the time where have you taken this medicine? Have you gotten this medical device? He said that just kills the industry.
Absolutely. And it also drives costs because you have to pay for the malpractice insurance. And that's why a lot of family doctors, if you didn't know this, quit delivering babies, because that's one of the highest malpractice areas in the country is labor and delivery. And a lot of family doctors didn't want to deal with it.
My best friend growing up retired from the military as a lieutenant colonel, and she was OBGYN. And I asked her, I said, why do you not... You've got all your education to be a doctor. I said, why are you not a doctor? And she said, because as long as I stay in midwifery, she said, I do not have the medical liability insurance to pay that having the two acronyms behind my name, MD, have.
Yeah, and that's just insane. Just insane. There's so much wrong. And the sad thing is that this Obamacare monstrosity didn't fix any of that. And that's what drives the bullshit. That's what's driving the cost of health care.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Barbara.
The thing that I found with my doctor when he was telling me that he's sending it to the local pharmacy just so they know, and to make sure that the drugs interact okay, I thought to myself, that would be my responsibility to make sure, or actually his responsibility to know that what drugs don't work together. And by him, I felt like he was pawning it off to somebody else, so he didn't have to be responsible for it. And then
I'm sorry, I thought you were done.
Then I called because one of my prescriptions didn't come in, two of them actually, and I called up, and the nurse on their recorder, they said, well, call your pharmacy about a prescription if you need a refill. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I'm not calling the pharmacy. I would call my doctor's office. My doctor's office would call the pharmacy. Why do we have to go back and forth? This is just how insane it's getting. I'm sorry.
But part of that, Barbara, part of that is the lawsuits, too. I mean, it all comes back to the lawsuits because, they have medicines coming out every year that are different. And so, again, if the doctors aren't able to keep current on it, they can get sued because they might have prescribed something that interacted with another drug. So therefore, let's farm it off in the pharmacies. I mean, it's just become one crazy vicious cycle. And
wouldn't you like to read on just? I get a delay. I'm sorry, I get a delay in your.
Wouldn't
you like to read just one warning label on a medication bottle? Warning: this may cause sexiness.
I know, right?
Yeah, that would be nice. Look at all the trees we're cutting down because they have to tell you every single little thing that this drug might do to you, because otherwise they're going to get sued, and that's why you get those labels with your prescription.
Well, here Obama is so against the oil industry, and if he was, this is what gets me with liberals. They shoot their mouth off, but they don't do 1 ounce of investigating or investigative reporting or even the thought of looking at what the thought bubble I get when I say oil is Obama holding up that green glass jar of algae. When he finds a car that will run on, I know that's the day the earth will stop turning.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oil is used for almost every factor of our existence, medications to the binders in medications to fabric to,
gloves.
What
pain.
What are the left thinking about? What do they not want? Do they want to go run around naked? And I don't understand where they think that by not having oil that that's going to be beneficial to who?
Exactly. You know,
exactly.
And then they better not want their designer labels.
And they're all
they don't know that. That's part of the problem. They don't know that it affects their designer labels because they were even signing fourth trimester pregnancy abortions on the campus. Now, come on, people. There is no fourth trimester. This is how stupid these people are. It's like, really? Really? Fourth trimester.
You also got to remember, too, is they're all for these battery-operated cars. You know, you use the battery. But when you plug them in for electricity, well, where are they getting that electricity from?
Well, Obama hates the coal industry, so...
Yeah,
exactly.
Then we're not even going to have electricity, you know, because he's going to shut down the coal industry. We're going to take a quick break, so hang with us here, and we'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Women Patriots on ConservativeNationMedia.com. You're listening to Barbara and Brendan. We have Carrie joining us tonight, giving us some input from the great state of Maine. If you'd like to call in and join the discussion, 718-305-716 is the number to call. And we know that Senator Cruz is filibustering and trying to get some more people to side with him and the American people to stop this abomination called Obamacare. Which we did hit up in the first part of the show, and we've kind of hit up throughout the show, but also talking about things like gun control and everything else. So you got something to say, we want to hear it. So give us a call, 718-305-7176. But got to admire, and I can't call him a politician. We got to admire a man that got elected and is actually doing what he said he was going to do when he was elected.
Yes.
And that is Ted Cruz. Go ahead.
That is very true because, you know, and that's what they said. You know, they're all going to do this and they're all going to do that. And you know, they're all going back on their promise to the American people. Now the American people are fighting back, and they're mad at the American people. You know,
because we want to break up their money party.
Yeah, exactly.
The good old boys club in Washington have been feeding each other money for years and years and years, and that's why, you know, they don't like these people coming in, because they are destructive to their money and their power, and they don't like it. But
they talk about. Go ahead.
They need to change. Because this is what we've talked about many times, is the Washington establishment. There's too much power in one place, and there's too much money in one place. And this health care bill takes even more power and more money to that one place. We have to stop it. We have to break it up.
You know, and that's the other thing, too, that I was thinking. The American people, why do we want to go out and work? And this is just for anybody, even the liberals. It doesn't make sense. Why would anybody want to go out to work to pay the government for the government to say how much I'm going to get back? Because that's what they're doing with these subsidiaries that they're giving back to people, subsidiaries. Oops, wrong word.
Well, yeah, and then when did they decide that we're not going to give it back because we can't afford to give it back? I mean, we have a debt.
And how much give back? You know what? That's what they've done to our state, because the state collects the taxes and the state pays the federal government money, and the federal government decides and determines how much who's going to get for the roads. And if you don't do what I say to do, then you're not going to get that much for the roads. We're going to give you this much for your roads. And that's just bullcrap.
They use it as blackmail, because that's what they're doing with Medicaid funding. If your state doesn't do this, then we're going to do this.
Yep, exactly,
and that,
right.
That is so wrong, because in the Constitution, anything not included in the Constitution went to the states. The states tell the federal government what they're going to do, especially in business of education and health care and other things that are not in the Constitution. The federal government is for just basic security, which they're not doing a very good job on, and immigration, which they're doing a horrible job on. They can't even manage what they were constitutionally designed to do, and they want to stick their nose everywhere else.
I don't even think that the government at this point in time, most of them anyway, even know what the founding fathers wanted them to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they don't care.
They don't care about the American people. It is about the almighty dollar.
Too much power, too much money. It corrupts, and that's what happened.
Yep.
We do have an establishment in Washington, D.C., and they want to keep the little people, you know, from having a say. Well, done. Sorry. Not happening anymore. We're tired. We're fed up. And we're making ourselves heard loud and clear. No more silent. No more of this. Don't talk politics. You know, this is how they silenced us. Don't talk politics and religion. Well, look where we are now, because we weren't talking politics and religion.
Politically correct.
Yes, absolutely. This is just crazy. Crazy. Boyd, call in
and tell us what
you're thinking. Go ahead. Sorry, Carrie, go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's okay. And I was going to say the saddest thing, too, is, you know, here you have President Obama who they've given him the constitutional lawyer or degree in constitutional law, teacher of constitution, and he's the one that wants to degrade our constitution. He's the one that wants to take away all of our rights. And, you know, he calls us a democracy. We're not.
No, we're not. And
we're a republic.
Most people,
and he doesn't. I don't think he even knows what the difference is.
Yeah,
no.
For a constitutional scholar. And then you get these liberals, and this is fascinating to me, ladies. I don't know if you can explain this, but some liberals say, oh, well, he graduated with honors from Harvard. I'm like, where do
well,
you
get that?
Well,
nobody's seen that.
Well, apparently they have. They try to tell me that he's graduated from Harvard with honors, and
well,
I'm thinking,
I wish my
if
our records were as sealed as his records were, none of us would ever have to worry about our records, would we?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right.
Not.
That's
I mean,
right.
Where did they hide these things? There's a lot of money went into hiding these, and you only hide things when you've got something to hide. You know, we know that Romney had a 3.94 grade point average. What was
well,
his
I mean,
grade
people
point
that
average?
Even graduated in that year went and attended those classes that he said he attended, had never seen him in a class. They have pictures of their classmates
mm-hmm.
and them in that attended those classes that he supposedly attended.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They have pictures. I've seen. There's video clips everywhere all over the internet that you can research yourself, and it's easily seen that people say that, listen, this is pictures of me in that class that he said he took, and this is our class. Do you see him in this picture? He's not in it. Glenn has had them on his show, and the guy said, listen, I attended that Columbia during the years that he said that he took those classes. He produced pictures of his fellow classmates, and Obama wasn't in one of those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Glenn's going to put that on his show without fully researching, and, I mean, I'm sure he wants
That's the whole thing with Glenn Beck. You know, before he opens his mouth, he makes sure the research is done.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I really like about him.
And the other thing that I like is that he incorporates all religions, all faiths, all denominations. It's not one versus the other. It's let's all sit down and round table.
Right.
And I think that that's the most important thing, because you're not alienating anyone, and I must say that we just had a Friends of the NRA for the first time in our county, and we were the second largest Friends of the NRA attendance in our state, which
wow.
For my county is the least populated, but we are the largest county east of the Mississippi River.
Wow.
And that's where I found out that those 3,000 Somalians, this was back in the 90s, no, I think it was during George W.'s presidency that those 3,000 Somalians came to Portland, Maine. But that was also through, they were aided by Catholic Charities. But another thing, too, that Glenn had on his show tonight was the leading Al-Qaeda member, or whatever they call them. I wish I was more educated. I could think of it. I've had a brain injury, and a lot of times words escape me, especially when I'm trying to talk about them. The leader was, his picture was taken, and I guess our government has been trying to look for this. They know he's in Syria. He had his picture taken, and lo and behold, he was under a tent that had USAID written on it.
Wow.
Okay, well, hey, guys, we have Boyd on the line. Let's bring him in and see what he's got to say about all this. Hang on.
You need to let me go, Brenda, because I can hang up.
Let me talk generally about...
You can hang with us for a minute if you'd like, Harry. Hey, Boyd, you're live.
Hey, ladies, how goes things?
Hey,
hi, Boyd. Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you, too. Yeah, as I put in the chat, Plan C.
Yeah, which would be?
If it goes back to the House, because it doesn't pass through the Senate as it's written right now, the House should fully fund it and say that all exemptions will be null and void. all the exemptions that Obama put out will no longer exist.
Well,
and that would include all federal employees and Congress. And
can they do that? Can they do that? Can the House do that?
Why
when the
not?
Senate have to vote again?
Well, why not? They'll have their money, and it has to be fully implemented by the 1st of November. And if they don't have it fully implemented by the 1st of November, all money will go away. Because they've already said they haven't been able to implement parts of it because they need more time. And the law says that it's supposed to be implemented by such and such a date, so Congress can amend the law to the point where it says by November 1st, you have to have everything in place and working, up and running, and no exemptions to anybody.
The thing with that is on the floor last week, I forgot which senator it was, or it might have been in the House. I don't remember which one I was listening to or watching, but whoever it was said that Obamacare, it was written in the law that everyone must, if Congress makes the laws, it's in the Federalist Papers as well. Congress makes the laws for the people. They have to abide by those laws. And that was specifically written in the bill. And here is Obama pulling it, saying, okay, well, hey, I'm just going to exempt these people. Or, okay, they'll have to get on it, but we're going to give them back 75%, so it's okay then, you know. And then that's all our tax dollars. So Obama has already broken the law that of the way it was written. He's already done that.
I know that. If he wants his money, then he has to implement the law.
No exemptions
for anybody. All exemptions that he has given or HHS has given are null and void.
Right, and they should never have been, period.
No.
So,
we just take all the exemptions away from everybody.
Yeah, that's the way it would be nice.
To include federal employees, Congress, the executive branch, everything. And if they put that stipulation in the funding and say that if it's not all done by the 1st of November, then all monies will go away. Then all funding will be pulled from the bill, and that will be that.
I don't know why impeachment hearings haven't already started myself.
I can
tell you that. It's a real simple solution.
Because he's the first black president, is that why?
No. Because all the squirrels have taken all of their nuts.
Pretty much.
Well, they forgot one. I wish they'd run off with that nut.
Oh, that's funny, boy.
No, but there's some reps in the background that I do see and hear are proceeding forward with impeachment. And there was another rep that I think he was from the Washington area or D.C. area. He was saying that he's tired of all the Muslim Brotherhood working in the White House.
Yes, yeah, I think I did hear that.
And I just don't remember off the top of my head because...
Where was Carr at this Kenyon Mall shooting? Where were they? There was no cry
right.
out from Carr?
Right.
Yeah. And if they're not going to... And this is, if they're not going to stand up and condemn this violence, then they're not the religion of peace. Because if you truly want peace, then you're going to stand up when these kind of things happen and say that we condemn that as a Muslim community. But you don't hear that happening.
Right.
Because
you're absolutely right.
You know, I will stand up and say I condemn what that one Baptist church does with, you know, picketing funerals. I do not agree with that. As a Christian,
right,
I condemn
right.
their behavior.
I don't either. Exactly.
And
right.
I will stand up and I will say that. And if there's a Christian group out there killing people, I condemn that also. But,
I
you know,
exactly.
you don't hear any Muslims coming forward to condemn these killings that are going on all over the Arab countries.
You're right.
Obama had an opportunity today to strike, you know, to say something about, you know, the extremists in Islam. But he, book, Memories of His Father, he will always side with
Muslims. He already said that.
He's done it in everything that comes out of his office. They do that with our military and everything
today,
else.
He spoke against guns, and then after his speech at the UN, he did something. It was on the Blaze. He did a speech or attended being homosexual visualization. I'm like, what the heck? There's way more important things going on in the world, and even here in the United States, than visualization of bisexual or whatever. It was, but it was something right off the wall. And blame it on your gun speech is not going to work for me anymore because I am a Second Amendment all the way, and I will be till I'm 6 feet under. He's not going to tell me, or anyone else is not going to tell me, when and how to own a gun because...
Right.
Absolutely. That's what
right.
That's a God-given right as far as I'm concerned. You know, because
yeah.
if I call for the police, we're going to be half an hour. We're going to be however long. And if they're somewhere else, it's going to be, well, Boyd should know, you know.
But we actually, I live in the boondocks. So we thought that the house next door was being burglarized a few years ago. And I called the police, and it took them like well over an hour to get here. And he had said when the cop got here, he said, "Oh, sorry, he was on the other side of the county."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, if this was like a real emergency, it ended up not being broken into, but I didn't know that. And he, you know, he's like, "Oh, I'm really sorry." And if God forbid something happens around here, I'm going to protect myself. I'm not waiting for no cops because when seconds count, minutes, what's that saying?
Oh, yeah.
When seconds count, something, I don't remember. Boy, do you remember?
All I can think of is don't bring a knife to a gunfight. That's all I can think of when you said that, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, when seconds count, the cops are only minutes away.
Exactly.
There you go. There.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I just renewed. Had to go through the class for the hunter's safety, and one of our game wardens talked, and he was the only game warden on for our entire county, and it's over 1 million square miles. And he said, you know, there's four of us, but he said if one's off and the other two have earned days, he said that leaves just, you know, me. He said, as a matter of fact, I am the only person on today. And a lot of times, like in my town, if I call 911, it's going to go to the next town, the bigger city, and then they bounce it to the smaller town. So it doesn't come directly to the town that I live in.
Wow.
It gets channeled.
which is just insane. And then, you know, guys, talking about these guns, Joe Biden said, you know, use your shotgun and shoot through the door. The media coverage on this shooter wanted to try to blame it on an AR-15. He had a shotgun. Let's talk about sticking your foot in your mouth. Yeah, Joe Biden, he had that shotgun you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. And not to have any armed person, not being able to carry personal weapons on yourself in our Navy yards and our armed bases. This is, you know, this is what happened with that crazy Islamic kook in Fort Hood shooting, you know, because our military wasn't armed.
Not armed.
That's just insane. Taking a basic right against people who have sworn to defend this country.
It's like I'm so sick of gun-free or free zones, you know, free speech zone.
Yeah.
Free zones. Yeah. I'm sick of zones, period.
Where you can't protest within a certain amount of feet of the Secret Service or you're going to jail. Gun-free zones where the killers all go because they know they're gun-free. Yeah.
And that protesting is only what they want. If it's for them, then it's okay.
Well, no, you can't have it that way. Go ahead, Boyd.
Have you noticed that the Navy Yard shooting is nowhere on the news?
Yeah, it kind of got swept.
Yeah, it didn't fit their agenda.
No, well, it's not an AR-15, yeah.
And it also, well...
It's not an AR-15. It was a black man, mentally disturbed. And
that
all came out within
Obama supporter. They're all Obama supporters. That's what I always remind people.
Obama had to first go speak about how bad guns are. We need more gun control.
Yeah. And then
Shall point arrows at Chicago, the gun-free area. That Rahm Emanuel's in charge of.
Oh, I know. And that jerk is still wanting more gun control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's people control. That's why they want it.
Well,
they don't
want it. And again, it goes back to you can have all the damn control you want, but the criminals are still going to get the guns. The criminals don't abide by the laws. And the sooner they realize that,
they're not going to realize that. These are the people that argued for civil rights for the criminals. That's just why criminals have it better than our elderly in this country. They have free medical care, free everything, free food, free everything. They have gyms and workout centers in the jails.
Like dental,
because
free eye care.
Yes, and they can have gender changes in there because this is what our government and the ACLU and the likes of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton have done to America. They have made the hardworking, responsible Americans the lowlife of the country, and they've elevated the lowlife of this country, and we're paying them all kinds of money.
There was a couple of years ago, there was somebody that went and held up a bank, I think it was, and he said, "I'm not going to hurt anybody, just a dollar," because he didn't want to rob it either, but he needed dental care.
Yeah,
and
so he wanted to go back
to jail. If he went to jail, he would get free dental care.
And there is something really wrong with that scenario.
Exactly. There's these people, you know, they go around and they say, it's free, it's free, it's free. It's not free. They don't have that concept that our tax dollars, you're paying for it because it's not coming out of their pocket.
Absolutely.
Even though they work and pay taxes, they don't realize it.
Oh, no. Because they're just fed the propaganda and they have no idea how the government works. And obviously, you know, Democrats don't either because they haven't passed a budget. Since Obama's been
in 5 years, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
No simple economic intelligence at all. You know, you have to have a budget. I have to have a budget. We can't run on a debt. Nobody's going to let us run up debt and, you know, and not pay it back. And they're not going to lend you money to borrow. You know, we're borrowing money to pay our debt. We can't afford all these programs that they want and this massive one they're trying to implement, this national health care. And all these countries, like Boyd said, these countries where they tried this experiment, it's not working. In the Netherlands, the king came out and said, you're going to have to start taking responsibility. We can't afford to be keep paying you for your insurance and all this stuff. Australia, yeah. they just elected a conservative leader, prime minister in Australia, and one other place, because it doesn't work. So why are we trying to take our country that way if it's not deliberate? Which I have to keep questioning whether it's deliberate. Because we do know
why are you questioning that?
Well, you know, I hate to see the worst in people. I'm one that likes to think that not everybody's bad, but, oh, my gosh, you know.
Well, I live right on the border of Canada, and they all come over here for health care, so.
Oh, yeah, they do, because it's not the great program everybody thinks it is. I take trips to Canada every year, and, you know, oh, for back pain, you get 2 visits to the doctor, you know. I mean, it's good in some ways, but it's not good in all ways.
See, Maine just implemented a law last year that they can get their pharmaceuticals through Canada because it's cheaper. And I guess there's a bill going through the House and the Senate of Maine that they want to take that away because I guess the FDA doesn't put their stamp of approval on Canadian medications.
Right. And it doesn't have to go through, like, the FDA kind of thing that we got to.
Right.
Well, all meds that are out there that were developed in the U.S. went through FDA.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy all meds that have been approved by the FDA that are made here in America in all the neighboring countries cheaper than you can buy them here.
Mm-hmm. Well, for our elderly, Maine is a welfare state. I mean, people move here for the welfare.
Oh, and that's sad.
It's sad. It's sad. And our governor is a Tea Party governor, and he has put the welfare on track for the first time. And our hospitals were so they had not been paid by the state for years, and it was bankrupting. It was hurting the hospitals. And he just last week delivered over $400 million to hospitals that hadn't been paid in years.
Wow.
And, you know, he's coming to re-election next year. And, of course, I don't see him getting re-elected. I love him, but I hope he does. I hope that the liberals don't, you know, a lot of money comes in from the outside, which I think shouldn't happen. But
yeah, you're right.
It does. It does.
Oh yeah, they targeted. They targeted. But just like in the Colorado recall votes, the governor of New York was funding the Democrats.
Oh yeah, Bloomberg.
Yep,
oh yeah.
Mayor.
Yeah. Nanny Bloomberg.
Nanny Bloomberg.
And he lost. Ha! Huh. Told you that we the people actually can make it happen. But we have to stand together. We didn't stand together. We couldn't coalesce behind a presidential candidate, and that's why we got. And I liked Mitt Romney at the end. The more I learned about him, but I didn't think he could win because I knew they were going to play the 1% card on him. I knew they were going to do that. They set that all up with the Occupy Wall Street. But we couldn't coalesce behind one conservative candidate, and therefore he won those early states. And that's why we got him as a candidate, and that's why we lost the election. Because even with the cheating going on, if we had had a candidate that was palliative to the Christian community, we still would have won that election.
Yeah.
And hopefully it doesn't happen again in 2016, because we have one kind of branch that's kind of a little bit more out there, RP supporters that were crazy.
Yeah, well, they're all over New England.
Yeah.
I just want to go crazy.
I mean, they're
New
kind
Hampshire
of really
nuts over him.
I know, and he's got some good ideas, but he's also got some horrible ideas. And I don't like the way he would incite. I was getting his emails, and I don't like the fact that he would try to incite anger and just, you know, meanness against other people. That's not how we need. That's not what we need. We need more togetherness. You know, we don't need to be trying to.
I can't wrap my head around the pot smokers and him. That's what I can't wrap my head around.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you know,
because they go hand in hand somehow.
Well,
I find up in my area in New Hampshire, Vermont, they all go hand in hand. It's
because you know he's
they wear the 5-leaf T-shirts and the Ron Paul votes. You know, I just don't get it.
No. Well, I do because it's like Colorado, you know, where they want. Of course, we have federal laws, but apparently federal laws only count when you're trying to keep immigrants out of your state that are killing people, like Arizona, because they're not going to sue Colorado for, you know, implementing marijuana laws, but they're going to sue Arizona because they try to protect themselves, you know. You know, I'm for state rights, but I'm also... I still have to find, you know, I think... Everybody got it. The states actually were against abortion before Roe versus Wade was implemented. And I stand up for the pro-life, you know, no matter what. And I can't say, you know, Ron Paul was like, well, it's a state issue. Yes, it is a state issue, but first we have to overturn the federal ruling, made it a federal issue before we can go back to the state. The Ron Paul people, yeah. I was actually outside a voting booth because we actually got rid of Senator Lugar, which was one of the longtime rhinos from here in Indiana, and I was for the Tea Party candidate, and this Ron Paul guy start talking about the 9/11 the 9/11 truthers, which just irritates the heck out of me because you know they just make us all look like loons when they talk. I mean, if you want to believe that, fine. Keep it to yourself.
Oh, I don't.
But, you
so
know, I don't believe it. But when they start talking about
it.
No,
when I was sitting there watching it, it was, you know, and I wasn't far removed from it. So it's like, what the heck?
Yeah. You know, and you know very well from the look, you know, on President Bush's face when they told him, you know very well it was in a plot. My goodness. You know, and... You want to believe that, fine, but don't go around. That was their big thing. I mean, oh, it was like really people came out.
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell was charged on from the, you know, celebrity leading charge on that, too. You know, it was just ridiculous. The moment I saw his face, that gave me the confidence that he was going to handle it.
Yes.
Just by the way he handled it in that. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't agree with everything George Bush did, but I agreed with the way he handled 9/11.
Absolutely.
That day, that moment, he gave me...
Would you do me a favor? Would you go back and see my boarding passes are printing?
You're what?
I'm sorry. I forgot. I didn't mute my mic. I got a trip in the morning, and I'm also checking in and listening to you and... And listening to Ted, and I'm getting all confused.
Okay, well, you want us to put you on? You want us to mute your mic then?
No, I'm good. I'll mute myself.
Okay. Okay, boy.
You may have something that I have to immediately jump in on.
Oh, I see. I don't know. Okay. There's just so much going on. It's just crazy. I'm so sick of this president, you know, bad mouthing us to other countries. I'm so sick of other I'm sick of other countries. Now the liberals in Britain want to come over here and disarm us. I mean, this is how weak we have become.
Morgan,
this is how weak
Piers
we have
Morgan.
Become. Under the not just him. No, there's people in Britain now calling for coming over here and taking our guns. Yeah, this is how our president And he gets up before the UN and says that the world is a better place.
Maybe he better do another apology tour. The Brits have forgotten what happened the last time they tried to do that.
Yeah. And you know, what they're seeing on TV isn't real America. I mean, what they see is the liberal, because, you know, they're the big New York and Los Angeles where these shows come out of. But you get into the middle class, the heart of America, which is all the Midwestern states. Yeah, you're going to find a different story. They're not even in touch
with what's around them, to be honest with you. They're not in touch with anyone but themselves, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, Washington is just like actually, even when I went to Miami, I was like I was in another country because it's just so different, you know, in these big cities and than what it is.
Talk about Wall Street, but the worst street really in America is K Street, which is where all the lobbyists are in Washington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not so much Wall Street, it's K Street that kills America.
Yeah.
Well, we have crooked people in Washington.
And another thing, too, that I wanted to say before time is up is I thought it was despicable for the Democrats to all have walked out whenever at the Benghazi hearings.
Oh, my goodness. Can you believe that? That is just a slap in the face. Because they don't want the truth. Because, well, they already know the truth.
They already know the truth. I was going to say, they know the truth is what's the matter with them. They know the truth.
But
I mean, those emails show. When they say that Obama didn't want to be down in the Situation Room, that he wanted to go play cards.
Nothing surprises me anymore, because
he reported that he played cards. I'd like to know. One time, that President Bush would have. He can blame everything he wants to on Bush, but I can guarantee you, had that been going down, that President Bush wouldn't have walked out of the Situation Room to go play a hand of cards.
No, he absolutely would not. He quit playing golf when we went into those wars.
Yes,
he was truly a man of character.
And leader.
This president shuts down the White House tours, yet keeps playing golf, which you know costs a ton of money when he has to take his security and secure the golf course. You know, instead of giving up his golf game.
Did you hear President Bush say that he should keep playing golf? And I think it was because as long as he's on the golf course, he's really not involved in politics that much. So really keep him out on the golf course.
He's the president. So who's running this country? Well, we all know that.
Well, Valerie Jarrett is, really.
Yeah. We all know that.
Yeah, which most people don't know. It's Valerie Jarrett who has Iranian connections. And it's very, very sad. You know, he was elected to do a job, and he's not doing his job. I mean,
it's crazy.
Well, when he comes to Maine, the first summer in 2009, he came to Mount Desert Island, and he went to Acadia National Park. The lobstermen, they had to shut down. Of course, there's only one road going into Mount Desert Island. They call it MDI. That's where Martha Stewart owns her big estate and all that. They had to close down that road, make it secure. Nobody could do business in and out of Mount Desert Island that day. So that's where all the fresh fish come in and out, and all the fishermen lost business. And not only that, they flew Bo the dog in on his own airplane.
Oh, yeah.
On a helicopter.
Isn't Congress taking away or putting stipulations that whenever you fly, the first family must fly all together? Because this false prop of what they say that, you know, our economy is so great right now, which I don't know whose delusional mind they're thinking it's great.
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh,
because it is great in Washington. And they just tend to ignore everybody else. And then they tell the people in these liberal cities, I mean, I hear this from the liberals all the time, that all the poor states are, that these liberal or these blue states are supporting the red states, which is just a crock. But, you know, they manipulate numbers to say what they want them to. Because you can make numbers say whatever you want. And that's what they do. And these people actually believe this. And I'm just thinking, who do you think's paying for your food? California is broke. Some guy called in, you know, and was saying something about how great California is. And, you know, he didn't even realize that California is broke, you know. But, I mean, it's just insane. It's like where they just make these things up out of midair, I think.
Right.
California is in such good shape, then, you know, why are they bankrupt if they're...
Well, see, they don't think they're bankrupt because they don't get that from them. They don't get the truth. You know, they don't get the truth. And then, you know, California's doing what Maine did, that, you know, they're grabbing their illegal licenses and so they can drive to their job, which they're not holding legally, and they refuse to call them illegal immigrants because it has to be undocumented. No, they're illegal, and I will continue to call them such, and you will not make me say anything different.
See,
and,
that wasn't what Maine did. That was what the State Department did. That was the State Department. That wasn't the state of Maine that required that. The state of Maine fussed about that, but the State Department said, oh, no, you're going to do this. And my husband and I attended the 2010 election. We went to the convention, it was going to be for 2012. So we went in 2010 to the state convention down in Portland, and we stayed at a hotel room. And I, 7:30 in the morning, I hear all this, you know, yickety-yack and high talking, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, who is yelling? And I open the door, and I see all these women in their hijabs, and I think that's what they're called, their full Muslim dress, the headgear, the whole nine yards. Well, that day we met at the convention, and then we had to break down to go to middle school that was just a block away. We all walked over there, and we had to wait off to one side until school got out. Well, I'm sitting there, and I took up residency under a tree because it was warm that day, and I sat and watched, and I saw girl, young lady after young lady come out fully dressed in Muslim headgear down to her toes, and I'm sitting there thinking, the superintendent from my grandchildren's schools, that is the model school that he models our school after, the Kingman Middle School in Portland, Maine. So I'm taking this all in thinking, are you kidding me? And the people are pulling up in Lexus, Mercedes, and then I'm really getting puzzled. Because I'm thinking, how are these? I've met these people in the morning, and then I'm thinking, okay, you guys are driving really nice cars. Maybe I should get a job in a hotel. And, I mean, I have no problem. If you're working hard and you can afford that, I think that's wonderful.
More power to you, yeah.
Exactly. Then I kind of go on to find out what the partner was doing, because I was going to sign my husband up to do whatever they're doing, because I don't drive that kind of car. And then we go into the school, and if you would have seen what was on the bulletin boards, you probably would have died of a heart attack, because I think I was going to call 911 to have the ambulance come and get me. There was bumper stickers on the wall that said, have you burned a bush lately?
Oh, crazy. And yet they talk, you know, we're racist if we say anything about Obama.
Oh yeah,
crazy.
I took pictures on my cell phone. Have you, on the bulletin board, it was about, and it just so happened we were not allowed to touch anything, but it just so happened that the desk that I sat at, the student left their civics. They had to write something for the week. And on the bulletin board was OK Magazine, I don't read those magazines, but whatever is at by the groceries, the Inquirer and all that. And it was about Tiger Woods' affair that the kids had to write about.
Oh, you're kidding.
That was at a middle school from 7th grade down, 4th through 7th grade, I think.
That's just wow.
There was such an outcry after we left that one county was kind of got slapped on the wrist for leaving a note to a teacher saying, we can't believe that this kind of propaganda is being taught to these students. And
oh, yeah, and it's just getting worse. I mean, you see it every
day. It is getting worse.
Wisconsin, they had this teacher, right, and this teacher in Wisconsin had the students drawing pictures of Governor Walker in chains. Now, come on. Really? I mean, it is, and this is why we need to get the states or the schools on a local level so we don't have to deal with the crazy people that are socialists.
Well, my granddaughter asked me, she said, what is Trayvon Day? She said, we were told to wear our hoodies. And I said, whenever you are told that you have something like that, I want you to call me. She said, well, I wore a hoodie, but I didn't wear it up like the rest of the kids. I said, from now on, I want you to call me because I said, I will let you know what is going on. Since obviously your mother's not doing it, and which is my daughter, so I could speak that way to her. I said, you give me a call. You tell me what your kid, your fellow kids, friends, you're 13, so you tell me what your friends are telling you, what, you know, is cool for the day. And I'll inform you of what is going on. Then you can make a, I know she has a level head, and once I told her what the story was, she said, boy, Mimi, am I glad I didn't wear my hood up that day. And I said, you know, I knew if I told you what the facts were, that you could make a rational decision on that yourself. I don't have to tell her what to do. They just need to know what the truth is.
Right.
How old is she,
Karen?
But that's just exactly what the... And that's why I think we need to scream so much more about this, the media, because...
And I don't know.
Putting it out there.
Right. And that's why we have a great friend, Karen, who has started Rage Against the Media. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I want to thank you, Carrie, for calling in and joining us tonight.
Well, thank
and
you,
boy,
ladies.
Thank you
it.
Also. And
thank you.
We're going to start winding this down, and then I'm going back to listen to Senator Cruz as he filibusters on the floor so that we can support him and what he's doing for us, the American people. So thanks again, Carrie.
Thank you.
Boyd.
And we're going to go ahead and bring in. Going to bring
the
on. The Dukester, yes.
Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hey, Duke. How are you?
How are you?
Good.
We're doing
all
right.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Senator Cruz. Because I think, like the majority of right-thinking Americans, I do not want the U.S. government to have anything whatsoever to do with delivering health care to people. It's really
Absolutely.
The silliest idea I've ever heard of. And Cruz is the only one that I know of that I think is interested in representing the people of his state and not in representing the interests of government, because everybody else seems to be there to help government. And, you know, this it's not just the Republicans. It's certainly, I mean, the Democrats, definitely. But Republicans actually, sadly, once they've been in Washington for a couple of years, they begin acting like congressmen and not like Republicans. So that may be one of the subjects we're going to deal with tomorrow night on Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Now, we were scheduled to be coming tomorrow from the digital studio in Dover, but because of the scheduling issue, that's not going to happen. So I had planned to have Cher Valenzuela and Kevin Wade on the air tomorrow, but we're going to have to play it by ear. This is just one of those things that happens from time to time in broadcasting. But no matter what, it's going to be a wonderful show. It always is. and I sure hope to hear from everybody tomorrow night on Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right here. Be there or lose out. I don't know. So there you go, ladies.
All right, dude. Sounds great. So thanks. Thanks for letting us know. And that, again, that's tomorrow night here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Mr. Duke Brooks as he brings you more of this Washington debacle. And we now know who needs to go in the next round of elections. So,
oh, yeah.
And I want that list. You know, there's a list. Sarah Palin wants it, too. She's called out for it. Sarah Palin's been kind of active here in the last few days, written some good articles, and she's got Ted Cruz's back. And she says Fox News should give us the list of the Republicans who provided information against Ted Cruz. Because you know what?
Yep.
This is the establishment. These are the same people that pushed Mitt Romney on us. These are the same people, the Karl Roves and even O'Reilly. They don't understand that we are not the fringe. We are the majority. But we've
right.
been silent. They have no clue. And they need to get a clue.
Yeah.
And I thank Ted Cruz for and I think we need to be, if you have Twitter, get on your Twitter feed and be Twittering. The hashtags that we're using on Twitter are Defund Obamacare, Stand With Cruz,
Make DC Listen.
Make DC Listen.
Oh, there's a new one, Cruise Control.
Yeah, there's also, yes, Cruise Control, and there was one other one, and I forgot which. Oh, Keep Cruising.
Oh, Keep Cruising, yeah.
Yeah, Keep Cruising is one. KEEPCRUSING. Use a hashtag, which is the pound sign, and those wording when you're tweeting, because these will light up the Twitter board. And tweet your senators. I'm tweeting mine. I'm tweeting John McCain. I'm calling them names. calling them out.
Harry Reid. I've got Harry Reid and Nancy
yep.
Pelosi.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi. She had said the other day that there's nothing left to cut in the budget. Well, yes, there is. Her salary, for starters.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot you can cut. There's a lot of agencies we can cut. There's the Department of Education, a whole lot of places we can cut. We have way too many people in our government right now that we are funding. I could find the cuts. I bet you Herman Cain could actually find the cuts, too. It's not that hard. It's
right.
not that hard. Really,
actually,
people.
I was going to say this before. Hillsdale College has another online class, Economics 101.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because
and I signed up for it. It started yesterday. I
uh-huh.
didn't get a chance because I just started my new job and I have to get myself into a routine
mm-hmm.
that I haven't done yet because now I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of early. I might
yeah.
have to be at work now at 7, whereas the other job that I had to be at work at 9,
oh.
so I was able to sleep in
yeah.
a little.
That's a big difference, so, yeah, so, but I'm glad you found a job.
Yes, thank you, me too, thank God.
Yes, so we want to thank everyone who listened in tonight, because I know there's this big thing going on in Congress right now, and I'm actually going to be tuning that on myself so I can listen in some more to Senator Cruz stand up for principles instead of money, and instead of the insurance companies standing up for the little guys. So we want to thank you all for calling in and even being here listening to us tonight. Thank you. And we're going to take this out with our musical introduction. So thanks for listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationmedia.com. Be sure and check us out in the archives for past shows. Barbara, anything to say before we check out?
Good night, everybody. And thank you so much for calling in, Carrie and Boyd. And rock on. Keep cruising.
Enjoy your evening, everybody.
Bye-bye.